It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, our guest makes the case that we no longer have a connection to the night sky, and we've lost a piece of ourselves as a result.
First, it might feel like true crime is seeing a sudden surge in pop culture. In 2014, Serial became the number one podcast in the world and introduced listeners to a young man who may have been wrongly convicted of murdering his girlfriend.
For the last year, I've spent every working day trying to figure out where a high school kid was for an hour after school one day in 1999.
Clip there from the podcast Serial. And then late last year, the Netflix series Making a Murderer became a big hit. The show digs into the case of Wisconsin native Stephen Avery. He'd been convicted of sexual assault and exonerated and then was tried and convicted of murder after his release.
And just last week, The People vs. O.J. Simpson premiered on FX. It's a series about one of the most controversial celebrity cases of the 1990s when football legend Simpson was acquitted of murdering his ex-wife and her companion.
But even though it seems like people are paying more attention to true crime stories today, our next guest says the interest goes way back. Writer and journalist Sarah Weinman joins us now. Her recent piece in The Guardian is called True Crime, a Centuries-Old Craze from Ben Franklin to Making a Murderer. Sarah, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, take us back. How far back does this interest in real-life crime stories go?
I mean, you could argue that interest in true crime is as old as time itself, but certainly in America, you could take it as far back as Cotton Mather, who used to give speeches all over Puritan America and was a really instrumental figure vilifying the people involved in the Salem witch trials. You mentioned Ben Franklin off the top. Early in his career, he wrote newspaper stories, and some of them were about really brutal crimes. So the tabloids of the 19th century and the early 20th century were filled with all sorts of lurid tales of murder and mayhem. So indeed, we've been fascinated with crime as long as there has been crime, because crime stories are amazing stories in and of themselves.
It's interesting. We might think that it's all voyeurism, it's sensationalism, and that maybe it doesn't speak to the best parts of human nature. But you actually say there's an interest in bringing order to chaos here. What do you mean by that?
We look at crime as a way of looking at ourselves, and we need to see the worst in what humanity is doing, because we might say, this could happen to me, this couldn't happen to me. But it's also, of course, crime is about justice. And when things are working, then people who kill are then brought to justice. They're convicted, they're sentenced to either life in prison or, in some instances, the death penalty. And some people may draw some kind of catharsis from dealing with these stories. Of course, as we've seen with more contemporary stories, there's a lot more nuance in the kind of stories, the kind of crime stories that are being told. So we really see the gamut of how the criminal justice system can work, and especially how it does not.
Is this an American thing? Are Americans more interested in this kind of thing than other cultures, or is it everywhere?
I think Americans have a particular fascination, and certainly there's a kind of tabloid, a kind of news culture that really brings about stories that have the designation like crime of the century. So we first started hearing that phrase in particular in the 1920s with the Leopold and Loeb murder case in Chicago. There were trials of the century with the Lindbergh kidnapping case, with various people who were entrusting hitmen to kill their wives because they wanted to carry on with their mistresses, creating great trials, or mothers who tried to, who were accused of killing their children. And of course, because it's now on the air, so we're revisiting it, the O.J. Simpson trial is a true case of a, quote, trial of the century, because it encompasses race, it encompasses class, it encompasses income inequality in a certain way, it encompasses domestic violence and celebrity. And so we see all of these different facets, and they all revolve around a brutal crime. So we really, these stories are a great way to examine what's happening in society and in culture. And I think it's just, it's particular to America, but it's certainly not only in America. I look to stories in Britain, to Canada, to Australia, and certainly there have been lots of lurid crime stories happening there. But I think there's just something about American culture that's really entwined with crime.
We're talking with Sarah Wyman right now, writer and journalist based in New York, and we're talking about our cultural fascination with true crime stories, from Serial to Making a Murderer. And Sarah, is there something about it now? I mean, you're saying it's not unique, but is there something that makes it more respectable now, or interest in it? You've got Serial, which is essentially a public radio production. You've got Making a Murderer on Netflix, which everybody's listening to. Talking about. So is it something that's maybe gone sort of upstairs?
You could look at it that way, and that's partly because there are all sorts of new media or different spins on media for telling these particular stories. And what I've found is that whenever there is a brand new medium, be it pamphlets or newspaper articles or tabloids or radio or television or podcasts or streaming, crime stories will always be there. So it's just because, as I said before, it encompasses so much about American culture and about humanity that people are really compelled to seek out crime stories no matter where the hot new medium is. I fully expect that with all these like new platforms, things like Snapchat and Instagram, that there'll be great crime stories told in those media too. But I think another thing to keep in mind, especially with Serial and Making a Murderer, is what these media do is you're not just passively listening or watching anymore. True crime has really become this act of participation where you listen to the podcast and then you log on to a message board like Reddit and get involved with your fellow amateur sleuths to try to figure out what did they leave out or what did they kind of gloss over or what other material can you find out. So you really become actively invested in these stories in a way that, because media was much more top-down in decades past, you might not have had that to the same degree.
Right, and you have the main character of Serial, Adnan Syed, convicted of murdering his ex-girlfriend, granted a hearing to decide if he deserves a retrial. It's wrapping up this week. What does that say about how deeply sort of these rewrites based on these tellings of true crime can go?
Exactly, and there was a recent piece in the Washington Post that exactly addressed this and how during this post-conviction hearing, not only did Sarah Koenig attend the first 3 days of that hearing, her name was invoked several times by both the prosecutor and the defense, and then she herself would go back to her Baltimore hotel, hole up in a closet, and record new updates to Serial Season 1. So it's almost as if the podcast has become entwined in the criminal justice system. And I'm absolutely certain that this post-conviction hearing would not have happened if not for the attention that Serial brought to the Adnan Syed case.
And what does it say about how we're telling these stories now? You said we've got this interactive portion of it now where people can influence the story itself, but are these things being told in a way that's any different than they ever used to be?
Well, one thing I was thinking about with respect to participation is that certainly when there were notorious cases, the actions of particular people could lead to big changes. Errol Morris's documentary, The Thin Blue Line, in 1988 helped free a wrongfully convicted man. In the Sam Shepard case, one of the things that turned it around so that Shepard managed to get freed and eventually to some degree exonerated was because of a reporter named Dorothy Kilgallen, who learned some information from a judge. She held it on for several years, but then realized she couldn't hold on any longer, so she told law enforcement what happened. And that was a comment of a judge that was so biased that he was found to essentially be unfit to have presided over this trial.
And we got to leave it there, Sarah. Thank you so much for joining us. It was Sarah Wyman, writer and journalist based in New York, who recently wrote an article called True Crime, A Centuries-Old Craze from Ben Franklin to Making a Murderer.